CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Wildfire-weary Southern Californians on high alert again with a dangerous wind advisory back in effect today. The death toll is up to 25. CAL FIRE's Robert Foxworthy says they've begun looking for 30 people missing.
Going to every individual structure and searching it, looking for hazards, possibly searching for any victims that may not have made it out of the fire.
A confirmation hearing's beginning right now for Donald Trump's choice for attorney general. CBS's Nicole Killian says one of the big questions for Pam Bondi will be
if she will go after the president-elect's opponent.
Inflation's ticked up again with consumer prices rising 2.9% in December. Silver lining? CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The shelter index was up by 4.6% from a year ago. That is the smallest annual increase since January of 2022. That's very good news.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. State Republicans have approved a constitutional amendment proposal for voter ID requirements on the April ballot. Requiring ID for voting is already the law in Wisconsin, but if voters approve to the amendment during the April election, it will be enshrined in the state constitution. State Democrats criticized the measure, saying photo ID requirements disproportionately makes it more difficult for people of color, disabled residents, and those struggling financially to vote. Governor Evers also renewed calls to allow citizens to propose constitutional amendments. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has signed an executive order creating and funding the Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention. In the announcement on Tuesday, Governor Evers directed $10 million to the new office to begin working on prevention efforts for violence and gun violence issues. He's also announced his budget proposal will include comprehensive gun safety reforms and seek funding to make the new office a permanent fixture. The order comes in response to the deadly school shooting at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison. City of Chetek officials say they're making solid progress on plans for the new Chetek Sports Complex at Gotham Park, but may need a bit more financial assistance to get there. According to parks officials, the city was seeking a donation goal of $235,000 for the project, but have raised just over $180,000 so far. The city is continuing to accept donations and seek grant funding for the facility, and if funding is solidified, they plan to break ground in the spring and complete the project by the end of the summer. A Superior man accused of leading a Wisconsin state trooper on a high-speed chase that reached speeds of nearly 140 miles per hour in Chippewa County has been charged. According to court documents, 20-year-old Matthew Plesko was charged with fleeing an officer, underage drinking, and speeding on an expressway in excess of 35 miles per hour. Plesko was allegedly seen by a state trooper driving 113 miles per hour on Highway 29 on December 14th and continued for 19 miles after the trooper attempted to pull him over. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks clobber the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks jumped out to an early lead and beat the Kings 130-115. Milwaukee with a 21-2 run in the first quarter. Doc Rivers.
We came out, played the right way, ball moved. You know, I think seven or eight guys had over nine attempts. You know, 45 threes. That just tells you the ball's moving.
College hoops, Greg Gard gets his 200th career win as Wisconsin held on to win 70-68 over Ohio State at the Kohl Center. David Joplin with 30 points as Marquette gets past DePaul in overtime 85-83. NFL, Matt LaFleur on what does Jordan Love need to improve as the Packers quarterback.
I think the next step is just to continue to evolve as a vocal leader. I think that just kind of comes with the position naturally. And I think he's taken steps to get there, but I think he can really demand a lot because the locker room, they respect him.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A little sunshine this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy and breezy this afternoon with a little light snow, maybe even a little freezing drizzle in a few spots. Our high in the mid-20s today. Tonight, breezy, mostly cloudy, 20 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a high right around 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 9 below.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da
bubba?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll catch up with Melissa Kay from WFHR about Central Wisconsin news, and we'll talk to new state senator Jody Habish-Senekin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic racism across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And before we get with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, please help the victims of the devastating fires in California. You can find an easy way to donate. Donate to Convoy of Hope at our website, civicmedia.us. Thank you. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning, Earl. I'm well. It was good to be with you.
No, it's always, sure. You know, it's always great to have you on. I could have you on 2 hours out of every day for the entire week and never get tired of having you on. Let me begin here, Dr. Craig. I just, you know, I don't know why the American people aren't outraged by the shenanigans that go on. House Speaker Mike Johnson said he is going to order the flags at the Capitol, which are always, when a former president dies, for 30 days, the flags are lowered. They've been that way throughout my entire life, Dr. Craig. But in this instance, the flags being at half staff for the death of former President Jimmy Carter, you know, Speaker Mike Johnson is going to raise them because Donald Trump wants to make sure that they're at high flying normally when he, you know, is sworn in. How trifling is that, Dr. Craig? I mean, who in their right mind would say that we're going to change what has always been the case? There's going to be a point in time when Donald Trump is going to be, you know, the flags are going to be flown at half staff for him. He's a human being. He's 78, 79 years old, and so I'll bet they won't do the same thing to him. What are your thoughts, sir?
I guess it depends who replaces him. J.D. Vanstrom may not want to be overshadowed in any way once he has control. I agree that a Biden-like Democrat would do that and would give him his full 30 days. So I think it's deeply symbolic, Earl. We can express outrage about it, but we can also try to learn from it. It shows how, you know, it's a great thing of honor to be president. We've had very few presidents in our history, and it's a highly significant country. And so it's not enough for him just to be one of the presidents,
right?
Which would be a great honor for anyone. He has to be the president. And so apparently President Carter died at an inopportune time because, who thinks this way? Who would
That's
think
my
about
point. I know.
That I'm not getting honored enough because the flags are at half mast and I want to change the rule and then make your puppet, Mike Johnson. I guess his eulogy for President Carter, that's about how much you can give it any credence, right? That he's going to participate in this. But it says a lot about a titanic ego and about a man who cares only about his own power and his own celebrity and prestige and nothing else. And I think people who voted for him should watch very carefully because he's going to put himself over the country. And that's what's been said about him. And you just saw it there. This symbolically reflects that. And I don't know that any of your right-wing callers have any talking points to address that, but I would love to hear what they are.
You know, Dr. Craig, he can't leave any pebble unturned, can he? I mean, with all the things that are coming up that he's got to deal with, the fire in Los Angeles, for heaven's sakes, in a matter of a few hours, he's going to be the guy. He's not going to be able to point the finger, even though we know he's going to be pointing the finger at other people, but he's going to be the president. There are all sorts of issues that he should be thinking about, and he's thinking about, well, the flags are flying at half staff, and they're going to be recognizing somebody other than me. I mean, I don't know, Dr. Craig, that I didn't expect anything differently, but it just goes to show just how far down this guy is going to reach.
Well, it shows a black hole of an ego where it is entirely insatiable. I mean, the man is going to be the center of attention. Inaugurations are grand. There are all the balls. There's all the pomp and circumstance. And no one would have noticed. They would have known why the flag was at half mast. And thus he brought it up. And he's thinking about that. All he's thinking about on the California fires is how to blame someone else. Gavin Newsom, Mayor Karen Bass of Los Angeles. Wokeism, taking the climate crisis seriously, where it's the opposite. This is the climate crisis, beginning to unwind things. So he's not thinking about that. He's not holed up thinking about what we do about the problem that climate change is happening. And now large parts of the country are vulnerable to catastrophic emergencies and our insurance industry system is falling apart because corporate insurance is trying to run away their money and not actually stand behind the liability that they've insured. And so you have all of that going on, but that's not what he's thinking about. He's thinking about anything that might take, that might somehow give him somehow less attention than he craves, less honor and prestige than he craves. And there's no limit. The inauguration as the first person since Grover Cleveland to be reelected to president after losing an election is not enough for him, and probably getting the flags. He also likes, I think, there's another element I've just thought of, Earl, and that is he likes to make his supporters jump through hoops to show their supporters. So I think part of this is making Mike Johnson do this, that he enjoys, and so when he was working for him, like Marco Rubio, who apparently the center from Florida, his enemy when he ran for president, and now has become his friend. He doesn't think he's going to get dangled around like a puppet like everyone else. He's wrong. So all these people signing up for this, unless they're completely unhinged people like his proposed Secretary of Defense that we saw the weird confirmation hearings for yesterday. Anyone who is remotely legitimate and ambitious, like Marco Rubio, are going to rue the day they decide to take the honor of working for Donald Trump. No one wins other than Donald Trump.
You know, Dr. Craig, Pete Hegseth, and watching him yesterday, and I don't know how anybody who's lucid could look at him and his responses and say, yeah, that's the guy. This is the guy that we want. He's got character. And that's what we're looking for, a guy with character. So this is the guy we want to be in charge of. And he's sitting there and he's saying, oh, yeah, well, we're going to do away with DEI. And DEI in the military has been the biggest problem. And this is the guy, Dr. Craig, who Republicans are going to say yay to. Even those who early on said they weren't, they're all going to bow. Lisa Murkowski, all of them. Because they don't have the independent courage, Dr. Craig, to do what's in the best interest of the American people. They're all bowing to him.
So look at Jody Ernst, the senator.
Jody Ernst, yes.
She served in the military, a woman who served in the military. She had concerns about Hegseth coming in. They bullied her into compliance. She's up for re-election. They threatened to primary her. They're running, the right-wing groups, millions of ads in favor of Hegseth. This has never happened for cabinet appointments before. So they've made it so, okay, she's willing apparently to do anything, hold on to her Senate seat, not reflect well upon her, though we need to thank her for her service to the country. But this is what you get for it, that he's going to dangle you around and make you grovel again your knees and debase yourself. And so now she's in this debasing position where she's saying he's qualified, and she's saying she doesn't have concerns about not only his personal life and his reaction and attitude towards women and abuse of women. There's strong evidence that that is quite possible, even probable, but then his view of women in the military at all. And so, and quite recently, and so the Democrats did a great job, the Tim Kaines, the Elizabeth Warrens, the Mark Kellys, they did very good cross-examination. And the weird thing about our country is 20 years ago, that would have mattered if you tear apart and expose a cabinet secretary appointee. Now it doesn't even matter. And now since the transition, it never did matter that the transition, the presidential transition, determines the parameters of the FBI background check, because the past presidential transitions, including Reagan, including the Bushes, wanted to know about the backgrounds of their people to make sure they were making a good choice. They made sure the FBI wouldn't dig into this guy. So it was a fake FBI background check, and then it was not shared with other senators.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is more than frustrating, because you see that all the things that the nation supposedly held sacred and dear are being totally uprooted and decimated. And yet there are people who are standing by willfully and silently, and they're bowing to the king. And I wonder, Dr. Craig, the average American citizen who voted for him, you know, and people say, well, you can't blame them. They didn't know any better, or they drank the Kool-Aid. What are you talking about? It didn't have to be this way, Dr. Craig. They didn't have to vote for a man who they knew was the way he is. Donald Trump didn't change from what he was 4 years ago. He's the same guy he was, but a whole lot worse. Well, he changed, but not, you know, his character didn't get any better. It's gotten worse. 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket, and you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
by and for the people. Donald Trump's inaugural committee has received $170 million in contributions, and it's expected to reach $200 million, almost double his 2017 total. Yes, the contributions pay for inaugural balls, but inaugural funds are also a vehicle for corporate pay-to-play contributions, currying favor for federal contracts, lenient legislation, or access to the president. The Associated Press reported January 9th that the totals were far beyond President Trump's $107 million in 2017 and President Biden's $62 million in 2021. The Federal Election Commission oversees inaugural contributions, and any donation of $200 or more must be reported. But 90 days after the contribution is made and long after the spotlight is gone. There are no individual or corporate contribution limits, and only foreign nationals are barred from donating. Among the known 2024 inaugural donors, Amazon, Meta, OpenAI, Toyota, Ford, General Motors, and Boeing all made public statements when they donated $1 million each. Energy company Chevron said in a statement to Reuters, "Chevron has a long tradition of celebrating democracy by supporting the inaugural committees of both parties." Or perhaps they're sending a message to someone. We have more on the pay-to-play history of inaugurations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. Dr. Craig, as we watch the horrible tragedy in Los Angeles, and we face a time when there's a man in public office who Dr. Craig almost appears ambivalent to the suffering of the American people there. And it doesn't seem to even bother him outside of an opportunity for him to point the finger at people who he says have failed. What would you say, Dr. Craig, because L.A.'s not going away. This is going to be a conversation for a decade or more, because to repair the damage, to try to bring it back to a semblance of what it was, is going to require commitment by our government, and that includes the President of the United States. Your thoughts?
I think we knew that we're going to have to tolerate it, Earl, that we have a president who lacks basic empathy for fellow human beings. He's revealed that very clearly. It didn't matter. Enough voters are just angry, and angry at, and justifiably angry, though blaming the wrong things many times for their anger. And their situations. And so what's been interesting is that how what this creating this polarization has done, where there it's tribal and you're on one side or the other, right?
Right.
Is that nothing seems to move his side of the tribe. So you just wonder over time, Republicans who voted for him, who are harmed by his policies when they've lost their homes, right, and their communities have burned down, whether that makes them reconsider their positions or not. It so far that hasn't worked. They've created a kind of system of tribal hatred that is impervious to new events, new information, and in many respects, facts and reason. So if he was really being president and thinking about our situation and our future, right, he would know this is a harbinger of things to come, that the climate has already warmed at perhaps as much as 1.5 degrees Celsius. In other words, we'd be already at what we need to limit ourselves to by 2030. And this is not going to be every 100 years, every 150 years. This may, some people think this is going to end up the worst natural disaster in California history. There are going to be a lot more of them. And we need to think about resiliency. Can we even fully rebuild in these areas? And what respect can we, right? Because we're just letting the real estate industry decide whatever's profitable, build wherever it wants, right? And frankly, it's going to change the subtle patterns of this country. But if we spend billions to rebuild things that will burn down again, I mean, that is hugely costly. This ultimately, climate experts would tell you, will start to lead to mass migration out of the Southwest and places like Florida and the coastal Southeast by mid-century. And so really there's going to be a huge population growth in places like the Great Lakes states that are much more resilient to climate change, though it will affect us and harm us as well. And of course, you have an administration that's decided to do nothing about climate change, pretend it's fake, and to drill, baby, drill. And at least I think people understand that, but we're not able to do is overcome this tribal divide that they've created as a way to gain power and hold power and to empower people like Elon Musk and the big insurance companies, et cetera.
You know, you just brought up the guy who I was just about to, you know, speak about next. And let's do this. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire first. Good morning to you, Gene. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just want to bring something out of sight that I really think that the public needs to know right now. And that is anybody, you know, who's paying attention to the Wisconsin Supreme Court justice race needs to pay attention, and anybody's involved, because I know a lot of older people who want to get involved do not have internet access or abilities, even though they may have a lot of education, they're not computer literate. In addition to that, they need to have phone numbers. In addition to that, there's already Schimmel ads playing on my side of the state, playing the guy as this wonderful man who worked for the state of Wisconsin and all of these things that he did. So I have an alert out there that people they can't sit on the sidelines, wait till the last minute, because this is a very, very important race. And thank you for taking my call, and keep up the great work. I'm paying attention to the hearing. Sean Duffy's going to be on today. So thank you very much for what you do.
Hey, Gene, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, Schimmel and the Republicans already have over $1 million buy where what, 3 months out? This is going to be the most expensive Supreme Court campaign in the history of the nation. Right around the corner, 855-752-4842. Dr. Robert Craig will let you respond, and you can join us. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday is with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Some Wisconsin residents are not a fan of the Department of Transportation's new winter road condition labels, starting a petition to bring back the old labels on the 511 Wisconsin app. The DOT uses the app to share road condition updates with drivers and recently replaced some labels like slippery and snow or ice covered with broader labels. They say the previous labels included conditions that could change quickly, leaving their map inaccurate at times. Critics say the old labels were important for delivery drivers who needed more specific updates. As bird flu begins to pop up across Wisconsin, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced it will begin rebuilding its bird flu vaccine for poultry to match the current strain. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services confirmed the first positive test in a poultry flock in Barron County in December, soon after confirming the first positive human case stemming from that infected flock, as well as another positive poultry test in Burnett County. State officials say they've been forced to depopulate over 73,000 birds in three commercial flocks so far. The city of Eau Claire is seeking assistance from Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call as they accuse outside police departments of transporting unhoused individuals to the city. A letter sent to Attorney General Call claims law enforcement officers from neighboring communities are making custodial transports of unhoused individuals to Eau Claire without a receiving facility, without probable cause, and potentially without lawful authority. The letter outlined three instances involving Menominee, Durand, and St. Croix County agencies. Nearly 1 year after the unexpected closure of HSHS Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire, Blue Gold real estate officials say they're considering purchasing the site. The organization is part of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire Foundation and is doing their due diligence in evaluating the potential purchase after being approached about the possibility. The company has previously been involved in the purchase of the property, which became the Sonntag Event Center, and owns a stake in an apartment complex housing over 200 students. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Doors lead singer Jim Morrison was found dead in a bathtub in 1971. Some believe he faked his own death. A new docuseries, Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison, takes a closer look at the rock star who was only 27 when he fled to Paris, supposedly to get away from fame. Director Jeff Finn features Morrison's brother Andy and his sister Anne, as well as archival footage as he dives deep into the singer's life and death. The three-episode documentary can be streamed on Apple TV for $7.99. Stop the presses. Robert De Niro will be playing a gangster in a new mob film. If that's not fun enough, De Niro's rival gangster in said mob film will be played by Robert De Niro. The film Alto Nights will tell the story of a 1950s dispute between legendary New York gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese, who were once best friends but became adversaries. The film will be directed by Barry Levinson. How great would it be if De Niro received an Oscar and a Razzie for the same movie? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A little sunshine this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy and breezy this afternoon with a little light snow, maybe even a little freezing drizzle in a few spots. Our high in the mid-20s today. Tonight, breezy, mostly cloudy, 20 tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high right around 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 9 below.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again? Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild will join as co-host. Trump proposes an external revenue service. Can you reduce the size of government by creating more government agencies? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
knocking at the door. Somebody ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Please help the victims of the devastating fires in California. You will find an easy way to donate to Convoy of Hope at our website, civicmedia.us, and thank you. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, a new U.S. Today SoFolk University poll found a broad consensus that it's time for a new generation of leaders to step up, even if there's no agreement on who exactly that should be in the Democratic Party. In response to an open-ended question, Democrats, by a margin of nearly 4-1, named as the party's leaders, officials on the younger side, a category that in national politics can go up to, say, age 60. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries, outgoing Vice President Kamala Harris, California Governor Gavin Newsom, New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and outgoing Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. A total of only 11% cited members of the party's old guard, President Joe Biden and former President Barack Obama, House Speaker Mitria, Nancy Pelosi, Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer in Vermont, Senator Bernie Sanders. Dr. Craig, are we at that pivotal moment? Is this the time that the torch should be passed, or is there a way to incorporate both? I've always been a person who says, you know, you want to get rid of the old and bring in the new and totally dismiss the things that the old still have some knowledge and other things. Your thoughts on this? Have you given it any thought? Is it time for the Democratic Party to move on?
The problem with this kind of poll is what people say they want in general may not reflect their actual behavior when candidates are put in front of them. And then this is such a big money political system that it's very limited who can even get the resources to be a serious candidate for Congress, for U.S. Senate, even increasingly for state legislature or a major city like Alder in Milwaukee. And so I do think there's this perception that the Democratic Party has become kind of a gerontocracy. I don't want to encourage ageism here because age brings certain things, certain experience. I can tell you in the nonprofit sector where I am, there are a lot of foundations that have had their fingers burned by trying to move out what they perceived as older leaders and then putting younger leaders in place without the support they needed to succeed, and therefore undermining them as well, and often younger and more diverse leaders. So you need to figure out how to do both. I had a conversation with the biggest foundations in the country a couple of years ago where they asked me and a small group of people, it was a Zoom call, was there some way to keep the expertise of the older people around while elevating the leadership of the younger people? I think that's absolutely that they had learned from a hard lesson there. But you still do have sometimes older leadership keeping younger leadership from rising. I thought it was a huge mistake that they kept Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from rising to be ranking Democratic member of Government Oversight Committee, and that Nancy Pelosi from her hospital bed in London was making calls to make sure that a 75-year-old rival got the position. And I'm not a big Nancy Pelosi backer. She did a lot to expand healthcare and protect it. But I'm saying that was not a good thing for her to do. I know that rivalry goes back. AOC didn't stay in line and play by the rules.
Right.
She has a huge following and is an incredible political talent. And there are a lot more like her. So I think we need some of both. I think that we can also get this kind of silliness where a candidate decides because they're younger decrees that they're the young, fresh face and breath of fresh air when they're really not, and it's just a brand, and then we're asked to vote for them because they're younger or they have wavy hair or what have you. I mean, seriously, and so we need to be a little bit careful about that. And as we know, sometimes older people are younger at heart than younger people. I mean, Bernie Sanders has a lot of vigor, a lot more vigor than a lot of 30 and 40-year-olds, right? So let's not... So you have to take that into account. We want people who are vigorous and young and active and want to make change. Those come from all generations, but I do think younger generations are underrepresented right now in the Democratic Party, especially because if it's going to succeed, it needs to better represent younger generations, because that's a voting block that is more open to serious, you know, progressive change in our country.
You know, Dr. Craig, you can look at people like Elizabeth Warren and again, you mentioned Bernie Sanders, but there are many more. And you talked about the vigor that they still have. If they can have the vigor and all of that knowledge, Dr. Craig, you know, it's a tough business. Let's be honest. If you don't have some background in it, and there's a learning curve, true enough. But can we afford learning curves at the highest level of government?
I think we can if we treat this more as a team sport, right? We need what older leaders have to offer, but we can't have them stand in the way of rising generations and just hold on to power. And that's been a real problem with the structure of Congress and the committee system, and the idea, you know, Gwen Moore had to stand in line and play by the rules for a long time to get on Ways and Means, but I think she's like fourth or fifth in seniority, so she has to live a very long time and want to keep serving in order to ever get to chair or something. That's an old 19th century thing, and it needs to be changed. But the Democratic Party is an inflection point, but you know that. And I like Ben Wickler well enough, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, but the debate between him and the front runner, I think it's Ken Martin from
Minnesota, right,
is less than enlightening or inspiring. And Donna Brazile, of all people, is called it out as basically being cliched. And, you know, when Donna Brazile is calling you out for being cliched, you really are being cliched.
All right. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. You know, I got stop the conversation and jump in real quick. You know, we have found ourselves captured in this two-party system of control. The American people are in significant peril. We have significant risks. There are just dozens and dozens of key issues that the American public want changed, and, you know, 70, 80, 90%, and yet here we are. You know, we're talking about the Democratic Party reinventing itself, for God's sake. I say we have an entire election system that has been captured. And that, and how they did it is under this two-party controllable system that now relies upon billions, literally billions of dollars of dark money. You know, it's anti-constitutional in every single way you look at all this, the way we even do our elections. That now, despite most people not being open and happy about nonstop electioneering, now America, in states like Wisconsin specifically, we're facing elections every quarter, every 6 months. The American people are fatigued or wore out because they can't keep up with everything. It's going too fast, and we don't have a media that has any, you know, shown any responsibility to do we the people's work. One more thing real quick, and it's, you know, tied in with the lead drinking water. You know, if we have schools in school systems where literally thousands of students are in peril from contaminated drinking water from these lead systems. I mean, there's enough lawyers in Wisconsin. You'd think you'd find a few that could, you know, do some, litigation here. But we don't see, nearly enough action and push for the public's cause, public's benefit. So going, getting back to this system, I'm with you, and I want progressives. I want diversity. I want more than anything, young people to get into the game. But if the game is controlled by a two-party system, we're not going to have different results, in my opinion.
Hey, Mike, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
Well, I think the caller makes a lot of good points, and it is the main difference between the way the United States is structured as a republic that, and Western Europe and a lot of the rest of the world, because they have parliamentary systems that are multi-party. And in fact, there's research that shows, interestingly enough, in political science, that a mandated two-party system like ours is more vulnerable to authoritarianism, because it means the authoritarian bloc can take over one major party and have control. They're kind of limited in Europe because they can't get much over 30% of the floor of their electorate. And so that explains the Republican Party and why it's such a threat to democracy in this country, is because we're a mandated two-party system. The problem is both parties have participated in structuring the system so only two parties can win. And the only time that we had a third party successfully established, the Republican Party, before the Civil War, it ended up replacing another party rather than becoming a third party. And so there have been a lot of court decisions where the courts, without any constitutional basis, because the people who framed the Constitution didn't believe in parties, did not create a constitution for a two-party system. Yeah, they were afraid of parties. But they ruled the Constitution, and it's totally constitutional to set up election rules in states and that make sure only two parties can win. So I think the only solution is to probably try to, for people who think the main problem is a two-party system, is to create a successful third party. The problem is, if that was even to happen, because it's failed repeatedly since the Civil War, whether it would simply end up killing one of the existing parties. That's the problem here. We probably need constitutional amendments to create a more multi-party, more parliamentary system, but that it's very hard to amend our Constitution, aside from hacking the Supreme Court so it just changes the meaning of the Constitution and twists it beyond recognition. That's how we amend the Constitution in this country.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. Guys, hang on. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this.
First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl. You're much too young, girl. With all the charms of a woman.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning, G. Gary, you say what?
Well, I've been listening. Dr. Craig talked about younger people getting involved and stuff like that, and about the two-party systems. You know, the Republicans are basically three parties in one. They got the Tea Party. They got the old Rhino Republicans, the never Donald Trumpers, and then they got the MAGA. The Democrats, they got one. They're extreme left, they're woke, DEI, and they are so far to the...
Hey, Gary, you weren't very good at math, were you?
they are so far to the left, Earl, that...
Hey, Gary, do you know people can say the MAGAs are so far to the right?
They are.
Okay, well,
they are.
Okay. Right.
I'm saying that we have the Republicans, we have three branches among the everybody. So what we're doing is we are getting the conservative Democrats to vote for Donald Trump this year, which would normally never have happened. Okay? Because the Democrats have gone so far to the left, and it's crazy.
Like what?
Because I'm a former Democrat. I don't know this party. Okay, I voted for Jimmy Carter. Okay, so I know it. And I grew up in a Democratic family. Okay, it wasn't until Reagan came out.
Hey, Gary,
I wish
I had more time, man. Thank you very much for the call. You want to respond to any of that, Dr. Craig?
Sure. I do think that we have had traditionally multiple parties within each party because a mandated two-party system is not natural. I think if you look at the history of the Republican Party the last couple of years, those balancing factions have disappeared. It's become very much the party of Trump, and you're seeing that with the confirmation of completely unqualified, unhinged cabinet secretaries, okay? And if we're going to disagree on the facts of Pete Hegseth and whether he is outside of the norm of what has been appointed by any other president in the 20th century to become Secretary of Defense, used to be Secretary of War before we changed the name of it, then you know, it's hard to have a discussion if we can't agree on those facts. As far as the Democrats being one monolithic left party, I mean, I wish that were true. But let me take a couple indicators of progressive, right? I actually think there are two parties in the Democratic Party, a progressive party and a more moderate neoliberal party, Democratic Party. Medicare for all, that's considered a signature progressive thing. We don't really need insurance companies denying our claims, moderating all of our healthcare for profits, right? And making it impossible to get the care we need and not face bankruptcy. Less than half of Democrats in Congress, about 110, actually, or just around half, support Medicare for All, have signed on to it. Green New Deal, it's even less. It's like 60 Democrats of the 200, and I think it's 213, 214 Democrats. So the point being that it's not reality. It's not reality if you look at President Obama, President Clinton, that they were substantially the left of Jimmy Carter. So I'd have to say that it's the caller that changed, not moderate Democrats of the Carter, Clinton, and Obama variety. And Biden did go further left in a lot of ways, but it wasn't on some kind of crazy woke, whatever that means. It's just become a swear word. It used to be like a red, right? You're red, you're woke.
Right.
But he did it on things that are popular, like actually making massive investments in renewable energy in order to address the climate crisis, just for example. And that's not something we're going to hear about. We're going to hear about what we heard about from Hegseth, about the woke Pentagon that apparently was too busy doing diversity trainings to do the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I mean, what? It's like this fever dream world of Fox News primetime hosts.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Dr. Craig, I got to push back at you. I honestly like listening to your reasonableness and all of this stuff. But you know what? You should be very, very angry about the Jimmy Carter half-mask thing. You shouldn't try to be like, well, you know, both sides and this and that and try to be calm. We need some fire in the Democratic Party. We need someone like an FDR that says, I am going to take on these economic royalists. Instead of the house is burning down. The government, we the people, government is being destroyed.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. You want to respond, Dr. Craig? He thinks you're not angry enough.
I agree with Tom, but we got to choose the right thing. The planet burning down, we should have passion for. I think when we're getting to the flag at half mast issue, a very symbolic honor, and I doubt that, you know, the Carter family is going, that they'll be annoyed, but I doubt they're going to be overly worried long-term about Trump doing this. So I think it reflects more poorly on Trump than it reflects in any way on their father and grandfather, right? And so I just don't want, I wanted to point out what it says about them and not get overly passionate about it and to save the passion for the stuff that really matters. And I agree with Tom there. There needs to be fire about that.
All right, Dr. Craig, thank you very much as always. Really appreciate it. We'll reconnect a week from now. Have a great week. Thank everybody who made the show go. Please help the victims of the devastating fires in California. You will find an easy way to donate to Convey of Hope at our website, civicmedia.us. Thank you. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Madner and Greg Bach-Madner on air. See you guys on tomorrow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Maggie Dodd.
Top of the show at 2 p.m. I dissect Jack Smith's January 6th insurrection report. You're not going to want to miss this lawyer lady breaking it down for you.
The Maggie Dodd Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day.
Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Trump's choice for Attorney General Pam Bondi is taking questions from lawmakers at her Senate confirmation hearing on Capitol Hill right now.
My overriding objective will be to return the Department of Justice to its core mission of keeping Americans safe and vigorously prosecuting criminals.
The FDA's just banned red dye number 3 from food and medicines like cough syrup. It was banned from cosmetics 35 years ago because of potential cancer risk. Extreme wind warnings are back in Southern California, where crews have just begun going through the wildfire rubble, looking for 30 people still missing. Cal Fire's Robert Foxworthy.
It's a considerable amount of structures to search, thousands, and it's going to be a long process.
Death toll from the fires is up to 25. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.